five-star recruit, Makur Maker, announced he's committed to Howard University, an historically black university here in D.C. Not just an historically black university, a flagship black university historically, the 16th-ranked high school player in the country.
The college basketball world was stunned this past Friday when 19-year-old Makur Maker, a five-star recruit with NBA potential, passed up schools like Kentucky and Memphis and UCLA, and instead chose Howard University. The historically black university in Washington, D.C. has long been known for its outstanding academics and rich cultural history, but not for its athletics program. Today, in his first interview since his announcement, Makur Maker explains why he became the first top prospect to commit to an HBCU in recent memory. And later, Howard men's basketball coach Kenny Blakeney offers his thoughts on why a new generation of recruits are forging their own path. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, July 9th. This is ESPN Daily. Hi, Makur. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
So, Makur, late last week, you announced that you're committing to Howard University over Kentucky and UCLA and Memphis. What's the reaction been like to your decision?
It's been crazy. You know, I announced it. You know, it was kind of midnight. I'm going to Howard. I'm taking this road. You know, it's a good thing to know that the country and almost globally, everybody supporting me, that is the choice that I made. You know, I'm getting a lot of feedback and a lot of alumni from Howard University, and people that attended HBCUs also reaching back also and thanking me for taking this route. You know, LeBron James even congratulated me on Instagram, and you know, a lot of, you know, Dwight Howard, Matt Barnes, you know, thanking me for this.
Yeah, I saw that LeBron posted on Instagram that he'd visit Howard this year to see you specifically play a game. What was going through your mind when you saw him talk about that?
It was kind of crazy because I didn't see it. Somebody sent it to me. You know, I kind of turned off my phone when everything happened because it was just buzzing. And, you know, I turned off all my notifications. But, you know, somebody sent it to me and said, hey, look at this. And I was like, damn, okay. You know, I was just kind of shocked because I thought this should be a norm. People going to been taking this route. So the most shocking thing is everybody was shocked. I didn't realize that it was going to hit this hard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're shocked because nobody can really remember another one-and-done caliber top 20 recruit committing to a historically black college or university. I mean, few can remember a prospect like you even considering an HBCU this seriously. So why Howard?
You know, the reason why I chose Howard is, you know, I wanted to experience and inspire people to, you know, consider HBCU seriously. Because when I went on my visit, you know, the first thing that stood out to me was the culture. So when I got there, the first thing I realized, I was in the yard. I was walking around the yard, and it's like every student knew everybody each other's names. And, you know, knowing that, it's just knowing that you have a support system behind you, and the student body is just so connected. You know, you can learn a lot from people. You're surrounded by, you know, highly motivated and highly educated people. Plus, it was Howard homecoming. Yeah, that was a crazy experience. You know, I learned a lot. And just being there was, it felt like home instantly.
Yeah, you mentioned a phrase, the culture. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, I come from a background where culture is, you know, valued the most important thing. You know, I'm South Sudanese. And my coach is very important. And when I'm deciding a place, I value that. And, you know, when you're around people who are supporting you daily, and it's hard to fail. It's hard to fail on your goals. And you're around people who have ambition and pursuing something every day. It just puts you on the level that you want to be on that level also. And they're going to hold you accountable. So when the culture is there, and when the student body is there, and everybody's connected, you know, you feel like you can conquer anything that you want to do.
You mentioned you're Sudanese Australian, but you've been in America for 5 years now. Is that right?
Yeah, around there. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been here for several years. Obviously, the story of this country and the world lately has been the Black Lives Matter movement that's taken shape here in the wake of Minneapolis cops killing George Floyd, and also all these other instances of police brutality. What's been your reaction to that movement?
It's sad. It's crazy to see what's going on in the country today and globally. You know, it's sad to see that racism still exists, you know, police brutality and racial profiling. But, you know, Black lives is more than just a matter. And, you know, the way of getting things across and the way to change this, I feel like, is educating people about people's culture and knowing people's backgrounds. And just having a talk with somebody, just get a chance to know somebody. And, you know, your assumptions can be a lot different. Once you get to know somebody, the connection is there. I don't think anybody should be treated differently, regardless of your religious beliefs or economic status or your race. You know, I think the youth today is very engaged after, you know, George Floyd's killing. Everybody's engaged, and you got to start somewhere.
So how much did this moment that you just described, how much did it contribute to your decision to go to an HBCU?
A lot, most definitely. That's probably, you know, the knock on the nose that made me do this. Because, you know, we got to lead. You know, everybody got to lead. Everybody got to, you know, take a stand and do something. And if I'm doing this, it's going to bring awareness to the choices that we have to make. And we, you know, as top recruits, we have to make choices that are responsible and to better our community. And, you know, everything that's going on in this country today, that definitely had a big impact on it.
As you were weighing everything, was it hard to turn down some of the things these other schools had to offer? Like multi-gazillion dollar facilities, all those banners, the stuff that normally gets rolled out to impress recruits?
No, not at all. You know, I'm from Australia, and I grew up playing outdoor courts, and I grew up playing in cold gyms and, you know, small weight rooms. I don't need anything fancy to open my eyes and be like, okay, I'm going to that school because their weight room or their gym looks nice. Nah, you know, I can get a workout and, you know, a little small gym, you know, and work out and be good. You know, I don't need anything fancy like that.
You know, some schools, when they're recruiting somebody, they Photoshop them into their jersey. But you recently posted an image that Howard made where you're not only wearing their jersey, but behind you, there's this collage of Colin Kaepernick kneeling and Tommy Smith and John Carlos raising their fists and LeBron wearing an I Can't Breathe shirt and Muhammad Ali's there and Bill Russell and Kareem. And you go down the list, man. So all of these other historical athlete activists, what does that picture represent to you?
These people are all voices. These people are all people who use their platforms to inspire others. Sheesh, Colin Kaepernick, he's done something huge. LeBron James, he's speaking out. You know, Bill Russell, these people have used their platform to inspire others. And that's something that I'm motivated by. You know, my cousins and coach, my family always tell me, you know, use basketball. Don't let basketball use you. Use your platform. So, you know, by doing this, you know, hopefully I inspire others. Everybody wants to make a change, and that change starts now.
Coming up, let's talk about your game on the court and just how you plan on turning around a team that hasn't made the tournament in nearly three decades.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Makor, we've talked about your decision, so let's talk a little bit about your style of play. You're 7 feet tall, 235 pounds, and so on paper, you kind of sound like a post player. How would you describe your game?
I'm 7 feet and I'm versatile. That's what I always tell people. I play on both ends of the floor, defensively and offensively. I can get out and run. I run in transition, you know, wear you down. By fourth quarter, you're tired. You know, I can shoot, dribble, and pass. That's, you know, I work on these skill sets every single day. People think mistaking me for being a 7-foot point guard, but I'm just a 7-foot basketball player. You know, I'm comfortable wherever you put me on the floor.
Is there a player in the league right now that you see yourself in?
In the league right now, I definitely say I take bits and pieces out of, you know, Kevin Durant's game and try to implement it into mine. I watch a lot of greats. I watch, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon with his footwork, Kobe and Mike with his intensity, Shaq, just how he dominated the game, LeBron, how he gets downhill. You know, I watch a lot of film. You know, during this virus, it's really, you know, you have a lot of spare time, so I watch a lot of film on a lot of guys, and I try to, you know, be the best I can.
People will be listening to our conversation here on Thursday, July 9th. What is the significance of that date for you?
That's the South Sudanese Independence Day. And, you know, 9 years ago, South Sudan gained independence from Sudan itself. And, you know, for several years, we've been fighting a war, civil war, for about 22 years. And it was a good thing to know that, you know, South Sudan is finding peace and unity and freedom as a whole. You know, independence to me means freedom to choose. And by doing this, it's my way of celebrating our South Sudanese Independence Day. It's a very special day. You know, I lost a lot of uncles. I've lost a lot of family members fighting for, you know, freedom and everything. But this is my way of showing them, and I hope they're watching me. This is my way of thanking them also.
You mentioned your family and all they've gone through. A lot of basketball fans are actually probably already familiar with your cousin Thon, who plays for the Pistons. Your other cousin Matur plays in the NBA's G League. So tell me about your journey and where you've lived and how it led you to this moment.
So I was born in Nairobi, Kenya. I left there when I was about 11 months old with my two parents and, you know, my older brother. We went over to Western Australia, a small city called Perth, and I grew up there basically all my life. You know, in Australia, I'm not sure if you've ever been to Australia, but Australia is nice, from the weather to the food, you know, to the beaches. Grew up playing AFL, Aussie football rules, played a little soccer, ran a little bit of track, you know, kind of old sports. But at age 13 or 14 is when I started considering basketball a lot more seriously. And I wanted to pursue it because I saw what my cousins over here were doing, you know, Thon Maker and Mature Maker also. They're over here dominating in the U.S. and I wanted to be a part of this. So I made that jump and I came over here to California, but I wasn't with them. You know, I was staying in a school called Chaminade in West Hills, and that was a great experience, but I wanted to get better. I wanted to join my cousins. They were in Canada at the time, and I was getting a little homesick. So I reached back to my cousins one afternoon and I said, I want to get some work in. I want to get better. So I got over there and it was Canada really showed me, you know, testing me if you wanted to play basketball or not. Because I remember we were doing a lot of defensive slides, a lot of early mornings, a lot of late nights. Kind of disciplined me because I was 14 at the time. And, you know, I learned a lot from Mature. And Thon had been drafted at the time. And then after that, I moved back to California. All my friends were here. But most importantly, the competition was here. I knew that Jalen Green was here. Evan Mobley, the number one big in my position. Big O was here. Onyeka, and I was excited to face these guys. That's kind of been my life. You know, it's been a long journey, and I'm just, you know, going step by step.
You are going to have your work cut out for you. Howard only won 4 games last year. They haven't made the tournament since 92. So yeah. What are some of your goals at Howard in your first year there?
Definitely go to the tournament. You know, I'm going to have to flip that team around. You know, everybody's excited. The guys at Howard have actually reached back and, you know, everybody's excited and I'm talking to them. We're already getting there from day one and ready to work.
Well, one negative about going to an HBCU historically has been just that the MEAC, for instance, the conference doesn't get recruits of your caliber. So that means you'll be proving yourself usually against a schedule of opponents that maybe isn't as tough as it would be in the SEC or the Pac-12 or the AAC. But, so what do you say to that concern?
The MEAC, I think a lot of people are going to realize it's a tough league, you know, with my presence there. Hopefully we get a lot more TV exposure. You know, there's a lot of talented people and, you know, a lot of more underrated people and a lot of unique people in that league. And no, I'm definitely playing every single game like it's all out. It doesn't matter who I'm playing. If I'm playing, you know, five foot guy or 7'3" or whatever it is, you know, I'm still playing basketball at the end of the day.
There's been speculation from some that you may still skip college entirely and go to the NBA draft or the G League or something like that, just because no one's seen someone like you make this decision before. So what would you tell people who have those kinds of questions, who still maybe don't quite believe their eyes?
Just believe and hear what I say. I'm not a person who's going to say one thing and do the other. I trust my work. I'm in the gym every single day, and I'm not afraid about the moment. You know, people are thinking this is a sacrifice I'm making, but it's my way of contributing what's going on today and my way of trying to lead and trying to be better every single day. But, you know, it's not a sacrifice. I look at it as this. If you work on your craft every single day and you feel you're better than the next man, you can go anywhere you want and you'll be one and done. You know, it doesn't matter what school you go. It's not going to lower your draft stock. You're good. The NBA is going to find you. And that's just how I kind of look at it. People are kind of nervous and thinking that I'll probably, you know, withdraw and not going to go to Howard and all this. But, you know, just watch.
McCore Maker, thank you so much for telling us about your life and your decision.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
Coming up, the man who will be McCore Maker's coach at Howard, Kenny Blakeney, talks about why the current generation of recruits is suddenly taking an interest in HBCUs.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
McCore Maker's decision to play for Howard may have caught many by surprise, but one person who was not surprised is the man who's been working to make this a reality, Howard men's basketball head coach, Kenny Blakeney. So, Kenny, we've known each other for a while now.
Yeah.
But there is a weird NCAA rule hanging over this interview because you're not allowed to specifically comment on McCore because he hasn't officially signed his letter of intent yet. So, for instance, you can't answer the question I really want to ask you right now, which is, how the f*** did you get this kid?
Next question.
So listen, man, you're from Washington, D.C. How far away from Howard did you grow up?
Probably 3 miles from Howard University. And, you know, it was always a important part of my upbringing. My dad at the time owned a regional kind of micro league team and had a certain connection with Howard University because the guys that played on Howard's baseball team would play for my dad's team during the summer. There's a high school that is right across the street from Howard called Benjamin Banneker. And it's the field that they would play their night games during the weekday. So I was on the Howard campus or in that neighborhood 2 to 3 times a day. Howard is one of those places in D.C., especially for the Black community, that graduations take place. You know, different events, fashion show. Everyone knows about the Howard homecoming. So the Howard, you know, University has a entrenched fibers that are all in and around the D.C. Black community.
So can you actually explain to people who aren't well-versed in HBCU history in general what these schools used to mean to Black athletes before the predominantly white institutions, the PWIs, ended up racially integrating their teams?
Sure. So imagine taking Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, LeBron James, Carmelo, and putting them all at Howard University. The history that I understand is, you know, from 1966, there were two major events that happened. One is the Alabama versus USC football game, where Sam Bam Cunningham scored four touchdowns to beat Bear Bryant's team at Alabama, which caused Bear Bryant to go to the governor at the time, George Wallace. And, you know, there's a famous phrase. It's like, we got to get some of those guys, or we got to get some of them. The second major event is when Texas Western beat Kentucky for the national championship that was played at Cole Fieldhouse.
And the ball game is over, as Kentucky has lost the championship game for the first time in their history.
You know, it was the same thing. I think Adolph Rump at that time was like, hey, we need some of them. So with those two kind of events happening, and the integration of schools, more and more athletes started to be recruited by the PWIs, predominantly white institutions. With their resources and having the ability to make it more of a spectacle, more of an event, you know, we saw a decline of Black athletes attending HBCUs.
You yourself were actually one of those athletes that chose to play at a major program. You won two titles at Duke playing for Coach K in the 90s, and you've been an assistant at like seven different D1 schools since then. So all of that is to say, you know just how hard it is to recruit elite prospects to a place like Howard. So just tell me, what about this generation of young players is making all of this possible now?
Well, I think for this generation of young players, they grew up watching athletes be social activism. And, you know, these young men now are 17, 18, 16 years old that we're recruiting. For their whole lives, they've seen LeBron James. They've seen Colin Kaepernick. I think that certainly plays a part to it. But I think also, you know, the social unrest that we have in our country right now has, I think it's slapped people in the face. And Our athletes now have a voice, and they have a way to communicate that voice through their brands and using social media. And I think it's a beautiful thing where Black people want to take a look at being educated at HBCUs and having an HBCU experience.
All of that, how does it shape the recruiting pitch you make now?
I think, Pablo, it's for me, one of the reasons I wanted to be at Howard is because it's Howard. I wanted to be there because of Thurgood Marshall, Toni Morrison. I wanted to be there because of Andrew Young, Douglas Wilder. You know, all of the people that have ever attended that place, we stand on the shoulders of those people. And that was really important. For me, you know, I want our young men to be politically active. So when I'm having a conversation with a young man, you know, the backdrop of Washington, D.C. is important. My conversations with some of the young men that we recruit or recruited, we never even talked about basketball. Like with a certain person who allegedly may be coming to Howard, we never had a conversation about basketball.
So, Kenny, I got to know you back when you were an assistant at Harvard, and your claim to fame many moons ago back then was that you were the one person on the planet who thought that Jeremy Lin was an NBA player. So you have a vision that is uncommon, but I'm curious how your experience working at Harvard helped shape your approach to coaching and recruiting at Howard.
I think that experience was something that was actually needed for me to be able to take the Howard job. Howard is considered the Black Harvard. And when Tommy Amaker hired me, I remember being in our lounge and we're looking around. The furniture at Harvard at the time had holes in it. It was mismatched. And I kind of saw what Tommy did with limited resources, but just using, I think, you know, the brand Harvard to present to families, you know, the ultimate kind of academic and educational experience. So it's something that I tried to kind of emulate, at Howard and utilize the brand Howard, to attract, you know, I think, you know, some of the best student athletes that understand, the value of our university.
In 2018, apparently, Howard's total expenses for men's basketball was $1.3 million. Now, Kentucky, I'll pick that school at random, obviously, but Kentucky, they spent more than $20 million, which is more, a lot more actually than what Howard spent on not just basketball, but all of their sports combined, men's and women's. So how real are you with recruits about the gap in resources at Howard?
Yeah, I'm completely transparent and 100% honest. And even to the point where, you know, I could almost be negatively recruiting against myself. I tell our young men that are looking at Howard that, you know, we don't have crushed ice. We lost a recruit that I don't think we ever had. That saw a friend of mine and said, like, Howard doesn't even have a crushed ice machine. How can I go play there? We don't have a posh locker room. Our practice gym is also our rec gym. Our offices are okay. I love our gym, but our gym probably hasn't made any dramatic improvements since 1950s when it was built. So I don't want to waste anybody's time, and I don't want them to waste our time.
You'd mentioned before how you maybe are running the risk sometimes of negatively recruiting against yourself. But I imagine that one of the things that happens to you once you start getting prospects, like the caliber of prospects that you've started getting, that the negative recruiting amplifies. So the criticisms can involve the strength of schedule, the caliber of opponent, how development of a prospect can be hindered by those factors. How do you address those concerns?
A couple ways. Let's take a look at Dream Team 1 and Dream Team 2 combined. You got Scottie Pippen from Central Arkansas, David Robinson from Navy, Larry Bird from Indiana State, Joe Dumars from McNeese State, John Stockton from Gonzaga. If you look at the current situation of basketball, you have Steph Curry from Davidson, Ja Morant from Murray State, Kawhi Leonard from San Diego State. You know, so you have guys, there's a history that has already kind of been cemented of guys coming from, you know, smaller schools that have been extremely successful. If you can play, the NBA scouts will find you.
So you're also saying if you come to Howard, you're going to make the next dream team.
I'm saying if you come to Howard, which we call the Dream Factory, you got a good chance.
Wow, look at that judo move. You're a pro at this.
I've been watching you.
But by the way, so you mentioned that you have some Dukie, some Notre Dame guys on staff. You're familiar with those programs. Have you heard from Coach K or Mike Bray about the success you've been having recently?
I've heard from both of them.
And what'd they say?
I can repeat what one of them said. I cannot repeat what the other one said. But they both were enthusiastic about what just occurred. And so I'll just leave it at that.
Kenny, thank you for talking with me. I appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Pablo. Much respect.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. Mina will be back tomorrow.